always hard to talk after that. But I always start by showing that video because it's so powerful. And not just in imagery, in the song, in the people that are in that, but it shows the strength of people when you can come together for a purpose. And that purpose right now is to protect the land. And I want to talk a little bit about history because, as I said when we were doing our circle here and we were sharing with each other, there's been, I would say, an intentional agenda put forth by the government for the past 100+ years to keep us, not just Indigenous people, disconnected from the land and each other and from our traditional governance structures, but from the visitors that came here, where we were supposed to learn from each other so that we could coexist peacefully. And you can, and what the government agenda right now is very much a reflection of what you see up there, to assimilate us to be consumed into Canada, to be Canadian, to terminate what is called our special status or treaty status, and to domesticate our treaties, and to move the federal responsibility, legal obligations into the provinces. And when I cover after the white paper agenda, that's very much what this is about. And that's the threat that we're under right now. So when you saw people out in the streets rallying, protesting, saying, no, we don't consent to what's happening, this is the reason why. And the agenda from Canada has always been the same. It originates from the late 1800s to, look at what the first Prime Minister of Canada says about Indigenous peoples. The great aim of our legislation has been to do away with the tribal system and to assimilate the Indian people in all respects with the other inhabitants of the Dominion as speedily as they are fit for the change. And some people don't understand when Indigenous people say that we're not Canadian. And why are we not Canadian? Because we say that we had ancestral governance structures that pre-existed Canada, and they still exist, and they will continue to exist. And when I say that we're not Canadian, I don't say that to be disrespectful. That's just the position that a majority of Indigenous people would say. And that's because our governance systems and structures are found out on the land. So, Duncan Campbell Scott was one of the orchestrators, initiators of the residential school era, and the purpose of the residential schools was to to take the Indian out of the school, to send us to what many people would call concentration camps of schooling, where we weren't allowed to speak our language, we weren't allowed to practice our culture, we had to learn a rigid system of living that wasn't ours, and that's what happened. And this is the agenda of the white paper. And it's very much the same contemporary agenda that you see right now. And you'll see later when I take you through all of the bills that are being introduced in Parliament right now. It's the same thing, except this was a policy agenda at the time, but now it's actually bills being introduced so that they become law. when I Don't Know More happened, there were a lot of people, activists that were longtime activists that criticized the name I Don't Know More, suggesting that our people had never been idle, which is true. We've never been idle. There's been various forms of resistance throughout the years against different agendas, and these are some of them. There was the white paper era. When the white paper was introduced, there was a surge of our people that came forth and stepped up to oppose it and to say that we weren't in agreement with what was going to be imposed on us. There was the constitutional era. At the time, I didn't realize this when I was studying in school. I was only told by people that were directly a part of the constitutional discussions, but the Canadian government wasn't initially going to include Aboriginal people in the Constitution. The whole Section 35 that recognizes existing Aboriginal and treaty rights, that wasn't going to be there. There was a large contingent of people that had to lobby in London to ensure that there was a clause in the Constitution that recognized and ensured the protection of Indigenous rights. And then we had the OCA crisis, and now we have the I Don't Know More movement. This is what initiated this movement, this Bill C-45. Did anybody hear about that? Did you all hear about that? Yeah. Did anybody read through that bill? No. Maybe that was just completed us. So prior to this bill, I never really paid attention to government that much, not maybe the way that I should have. And I never really looked at these omnibus bills. But when I started to look through this thing, I was surprised at what was in there and how some of these various pieces of legislation could be stuck in a budget bill. Mm-hmm. When you think of a budget bill, you think of just finances and those sorts of things, right? But in this budget bill is amendments to the Indian Act that were specifically related to lands and how lands would be designated. And the Navigable Waters Protection Act, and there were other environmental pieces of legislation contained in there. And when I was looking up and doing research on some of this stuff, I just found it interesting that all of this was hidden in there, and it wasn't made publicly known. And it was only then that I realized, you know, I probably should have been paying attention to more of what happens at the federal government level. But so this is what initiated the movement, is the concern over the amendments to the Indian Act, because you can't make constitutional changes to a treaty relationship without involving the people that you meet, that you have a responsibility to ensure that you're fulfilling legal obligations of that treaty. So what that bill did...
You're going to just add a thing. Jen is the lawyer. It's good to have a legal line.
And even then, you know, even though I'm legally trained and I read some of this stuff, it's still very confusing. Like, you still got to look at every word in there, look at different sections. So I don't know how the government thought that it could pass something so quickly in, like, 2 to 3 months, which it did, without even consulting people that have constitutionally protected rights. And that's why we say that this is the contemporary version of the white paper of 1969, but it's just in 2012, 2013. And if you look at that quote, just reflect on that a little bit. The policy is still the same, and it will still be the same. They just have different strategies of getting to the end result. So this is the suite of legislation that we're dealing with right now. And interestingly, when I looked at most of them, and they all deal with land and taking control of our own forms of governance and lawmaking powers away from us, and for that to be devolved to the province. So, how did this whole movement start? It started with these first four women who were the first original, they're called the founders, but they were the first organizers. And what happened was Sylvia somehow came to know about what was happening with Bill C-45, and she started to read information about what would happen. And then she informed the other three ladies, and then they were discussing amongst themselves what to do. And it's interesting how the name came to be, because I asked her one day, and I said, how did you guys come up with I Don't Know More? Like, where did that come from? And she just laughed, and she said, you really want to know? And I'm like, yeah, I want to know. And she said, we were all living in kind of different places, and the only thing that connected us was Facebook. And we started a chat on Facebook, and to keep the chat organized and to know what we were talking about, Jess called it Idle No More. We weren't going to be idle anymore. So that's how that came to be. And my involvement came after. I think it was the middle of November, and I never met Sylvia. I was told to get in touch with her because when I started to learn about the issues and what was happening, I felt really compelled to do something. And I was really shocked that nobody knew what was happening. Like, the general public had no idea. And they were making sweeping, substantive changes to environmental policies that, as I did more research, environmentalists were, like, in an uproar, outrage at how 30-plus years of work to create these protections for the environment were going down the tube in this bill. And Sylvia somehow got my phone number, and she called me one day in a panic, and she says, Janice, have you read that Bill C-45? And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, I'm going to send you some materials on it. And I'm like, okay. She's like, are you guys doing anything in Alberta over there? And I'm like, no. Maybe we should be. And so she sent me some materials. And immediately I was, I couldn't help but not do, like, I had to do something. I was really stepping out of my comfort zone. At that point, I really wasn't comfortable public speaking, even though I do a lot of it now. I really wasn't. And I thought, you know what? I have legal training. I have to do this. I gotta do something. And I connected up with Tanya Capo, she's right beside me there. And the three of us, me, Tanya, and Sylvia, started planning something to happen in Alberta. And we were having some problems with organizing the space and location, but anyway, everything worked out. And we were lucky that Tanya created this Facebook event page and she was inviting people to come and listen about what was happening. And one of the other people that said she would come and speak about the whole suite of bills that I put up there earlier was Pam Palmiter. And so that was the first Alberta event. And that was held out in Louisville.